start it up. Let's go to a show where we're rocking all night. I got an army, wanna party with 30 extra guys from the dusk to dawn till our minds are gone. Hang out with hangovers and hit up a con. Houston, Texas, are you feeling the love from a giant rocket ship coming down from above? Well,
Space City Nerd.
Don't you know, well,
Space City Nerd.
That's right, we're the kings and the queens of the things that you deem absurd. Sing it with me, y'all.
Space City Nerd.
All right, nerdcore.
Got that.
Chip tune.
Got that.
Read the magazine to check out the podcast. Action figures.
Got that.
Board games.
Got that.
TV shows and video games. Yeah, we got that. Take flight on a broken satellite. All right.
Good evening and welcome to the Space City Nerd Podcast, home of the edgiest teens on the internet. This is the 74th edition, and with me tonight, Ryan.
What up, internets?
And also sometimes our team goes down for different reasons, and we always have a backup bench. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the backup bench is, like, so awesome that we're excited to have them on. And so we present to you the always euphoric Katie.
Hi, everybody.
So, she is our resident WoW player, and also, what else do you do?
Spooky stuff.
And Fedora Tipper.
Are you excited for Heroes of the Storm?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Alright.
Yeah. Why? I have good feels. I don't know, because I hate League of Legends.
So you just want a League of Legends clone?
Yeah.
With what's her name? Nova?
Nova? Yeah, Nova here. No, I really want to play the Witch Doctor from Diablo.
Why don't you just play Diablo then?
I do.
Okay, well then you're already playing the Witch Doctor.
I just like the Blizzard characters. No. Yeah, but you're playing his canon. He's got a name. Nazibu. Nazibo.
Nazibu?
Nazibu?
Just pronouncing his name. Racist.
Can't pronounce his name.
Racist against witch doctors.
Oh, wow.
Witch doctors were actually white.
Ooh-ee.
Yeah. Ting, ping.
Anyways. Yes, this is a slow start, but we're getting there. Last weekend was the 20th. Well, somewhere was in there, so I actually went to go wait outside for some Amiibos because they're like crack for me, kind of. Even though I don't have like a full wave or anything, because I only get like the stuff I really want.
Do you open them or do you just keep them in the packages?
The only one I have is Miss No Panties, which is Princess Peach. Like,
does
opened
have
up.
Any panties?
No.
No, the American one, they kind of like the dress is like way too low for the panties to be seen. I only opened it for research purposes. I mean, okay. To level her up.
I opened mine. I have Kirby and the Villager.
Yeah,
you kind of record.
I am so jealous.
I love the Villager.
You should sell for like $800.
Level it, sell it.
No, don't level it. You can't name it or anything. Just sell it.
Yay.
No, I've been lucky, and like this weekend I went to go wait out for Meta Knight because he looks really cool. Yeah. So
the last
wave, it had a lot of exclusives. Shulk from Blade Chronicles was in was GameStop. Rosalina was Target. Lucario was Toys R Us, and then Best Buy had Meta Knight. So I didn't care about Shulk. I didn't care about Lucario. I wanted Rosalina, and that launch was disastrous in some places because the targets that were getting them ended up getting like 30 of them, but they had no limit as to how many you could pick out.
Oh.
So you could come in and get like a basket full of Rosalinas.
Jesus.
And then go sell them for like $100 each.
Imagine a line of, you know, of folks waiting for the Amiibo, and you see some jackass with with bags full of them.
Well,
I hope he got shanked.
No, there was a bunch of, there was cases where people were getting into fistfights outside because of that. Because they had come in and bought like 30 of them, and then the guy was like, "You can't do that," and like they didn't limit me. But for this time, I was there at 8 in the morning in front of Best Buy, like waiting for it to open, and I was like, "Man, I'm smooth. I'm coming here early." There was already like 4 people in front of me.
What?
Yeah. Three of them had apparently been waiting since 9:30 the night before.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, for an amiibo.
For an amiibo.
And then the soccer mom in front of me had gotten there like at 6 o'clock in the morning.
What's a cool parent?
I mean, no. This lady I could tell was like, I'm gonna make some money off of this, you know?
She's those stay-at-home eBay moms.
Yeah, I was kinda like, man, this is gonna suck. So but you know, there's a guy that came out before me. Like, I chatted with him. Dude was totally cool. He's like, if I get it, I don't care. Whatever, it's fine. I'm just here for fun. I had some edgy guy right in front of me. Like, he wouldn't talk to anybody, and he was like hiding in the corner with his like 3DS and stuff like that.
Does he have a sweet emo sweep, or has a beanie on,
or
a
fedora?
He was actually, excuse me. He had a very skater style. He had like Vans and like a hoodie and stuff. Mm. Maybe he just didn't want to talk to anybody. But
I can relate.
So the manager comes out, and he's like, "Hey,
oh, no.
Only the first 6 people are gonna get whatever you're here for." And I'm like, "Cool." I'm like, I was six. I was number 6. I'm like, "Oh man, I'm lucky," you know.
Yeah.
And so as we walk in, one other employee was like, "Well, we only have 4 Meta Knights and 2 Mega Mans."
Oh.
And I was like, no. And I talked to the manager. He's like, "Hey, I thought you said you had, you know, 6 of them. They sent us 6 in one box. I don't know what you guys are here for."
Oh.
And I'm like, I called him. I was like, "You're a liar."
You're a liar.
You're a liar.
And he goes, "I don't even know why you guys are here. I showed up and there's a line of people outside my door, and I have no idea what I'm supposed to be selling and stuff.
I'm here for a Samsung TV."
But there's like some people behind me that got super irate with him, and like to the point where he had to like leave the area and go call other managers and be like, seriously, I heard him on the phone. He's like, "What the fuck are we selling that everyone's out here, you know, at 6 in the morning?
Amiibos. What the fuck are those?"
That's basically what it is. It's hilarious that he was so clueless. But you know, they handled it to where it's like 1 per person.
No, that's cool.
I didn't get one. I was kind of sad, but whatever. So Ryan, that luck I have with action figures doesn't work with amiibos.
Well, yeah, because freaking amiibos, man, the way they released them, there's no rhyme or reason to how they're released.
It's okay. It's 4 figures per store. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you're listening to this, what the fuck is an amiibo? Just like that general manager. Yeah. If you haven't seen, there are those little like Skylander looking pieces, but for Nintendo characters. You can level them up in different games or use them to play all sorts of weird things on there. I know, Ryan, we leveled up your Captain Falcon.
Yeah, he's like, he was kicking our asses. It was stupid.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. They actually end up learning and fighting against you and stuff. And I like how he fought against his own father, Ryan. Like, well, he was just going after you the whole time.
So my brother-in-law has a Link. You can find Link anywhere, but his Link is level 50, and he brings it to different places, and that Link is unkillable.
No lie. I was reading an article about when the amiibos first came out, they leveled one up to 50, a Star Fox, and then they had an uneven amount of people for a tournament, and they put in the amiibo Star Fox.
Oh no.
Whoa.
That Star Fox ended up taking 3rd.
Jesus.
So
holy crap. What, that's a level 50 Star Fox?
Yeah.
See, well, that Link, he would know where he'll throw his bombs up and know that if you're gonna chase after him, that bomb will stop you. I don't know how the fuck
he knows, man.
I don't know how
he's watching you.
It's learning.
He's watching you.
It's learned from you. It watches your every move.
It probably watches you when you sleep, too. So Captain Falcon's, like, in your room at night.
I will protect you. Let me be your hero.
So what are you going to do with yours, Katie? Are you going to sell your villager?
I really like my villager. I don't want to sell him. Villager's, like, my favorite. What do you mean you can chop a tree down on somebody? Jesus. I'm like, what am I doing with all this, you know, fucking potted plants and
Yeah, Smash Great. Is fun. Moving along. Today, on the Tuesday that we're recording this, a short film was released onto the internet for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's an unofficial reboot, I don't know, adaptation. And it was, I think it was commissioned by, like, someone for another director. And
Okay, I was going to say, if it's a Power Ranger fan.
I think it might be. I think it actually might be.
They call it a dark boot or something? They gave it some kind of, like, a deboot.
A deboot.
A deboot. We just lost the Windows disk. Right.
And it's funny because, like Saban is right now trying to shut it down and, like, take it out wherever it is. But if you want to look at it, or if you want to watch the video, it's power, like, /Rangers.
So,
if you want to look at it, because there is nothing but bad things for me.
No, like, well, go watch it. But I know Jesus, me, I don't know how you feel, Katie, but I don't know.
Well, I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah.
I tried watching it, and you know, and it's funny. The funny thing is like the general consensus of the internet is like, "Whoa, this is badass and everything."
Yeah, because I mean, the internet is a fucking bunch of fucking kids. Sorry.
Yeah, because like at first you're like, "Oh, badass," and then you watch it and you're like, "This is no longer badass anymore."
Yeah, I mean, we respect your opinions and all that, but now you have to hear ours forcefully in your ears. But. I don't know where to even start. First, Power Rangers with guns and rifles.
It was like Starship Troopers in the movie.
That's what I thought too when it first started. I was like, this is like Starship Troopers right now.
Yeah. And I mean, I know they use like, you know, laser rifles or laser guns in the show that's completely different, but when they use like giant like automatic weapons, kind of takes away the mystique from like their ninja powers, you know.
Yeah. I think it's a parody of how things get gritty reboots. Because Power Rangers has a complex story enough that it does not need this weird gritty reboot.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's got like, okay, so aside from people like shooting rifles and stuff like that, you have sex in it.
Yep.
You have like extreme violence. Yeah, like that exaggerated, edgy cursing.
Yeah, just
that was. Yeah, and then you have what is the other thing? Oh, Bulk and Skull.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, going you completely sold us just out, like Bulk. Turbo Man.
Oh, like that. First of all, did not make any sense. Bulk and Skull does not know that they're Power Rangers.
I thought they did later on.
Okay, then maybe then my memory of Power Rangers is, but still,
implying Bulk and Skull can do anything, right?
Yeah,
but they look like straight up like I don't Met know. Heads.
That's what.
Yeah,
that's what. That's what. Andrew Williams, host of God Hates Comics, said on his Facebook. It looked like Methead. He also hated it.
Yeah, he hates it too. One person that I'm surprised I hated. Well, not surprised, but yeah, actually, I am surprised. JDF, Jason David Frank, he loves, you know, anything that has something to do with Power Rangers, but he was just like, this is crap.
Yeah, but think about what he likes. Not only does he like being the Ranger, he likes what the Rangers represent. They represent teamwork. Exactly. They have teamwork. They have people just banding together. It's not a gritty thing. It's not people shooting each other in the head. It's not people turning on each other. It's supposed to be a feel good and some morals to it.
Yeah, this is no morals. Well, I mean, it took away from like what the Power Rangers are. So it didn't feel like Power Rangers, I mean.
Yeah. Sentai movies and Sentai shows in general are all about teamwork and how one person cannot make a difference, but as a team, as together, they can, you know, fight evil monsters. It's a very Japanese thing.
Oh, and then the fact that like Kimberly, like she's like with Jason at one point, then with Tommy at another point.
Okay, a few good things about that thing though. I like the cyberpunk aesthetic. I'm a sucker for cyberpunk. I like it kinda looked cool, I guess. And then
the action scenes were neat. I mean, you know,
yeah, the action scene with the Black Ranger, that was pretty cool.
I like that.
Yeah, that was pretty badass. And I mean,
I, I, I thought the first time that when he like took off his helmet and then when he like threw it at the person and put it back on that way,
that was silly.
That was too stupid.
I've been playing Get Out of Hell. So you know how Johnny Gat stabs people like really gratuitously? That kind of reminded me. So I'm like, oh, cool. It's kind of like Get Out of Hell. So that's kind of cool. Dawson's Creek was doing stuff like a Minority Report. So that was pretty cool.
I was waiting for him to cry. Like, on the verge of every smile. I was like, tears? No.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he was going to be holding Kimberly's body and all you hear is, do 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 do
do. Hey, did y'all remember who's that guy who played Pacey from Dawson's Creek? Anyway, he was in a horror movie, and that song mm-hmm. played in that horror movie. Oh, that he turns it off.
Wasn't
and he
goes, it like, oh, so shit
for that movie?
Urban Legend, wasn't it?
I think it was Urban Legend. I thought just as a side, I thought that was funny. And the whole ending, I'm going to spoil it because I don't give a crap because it's a crappy video.
All right, go for it. I think I think the ending shouldn't be spoiled because right. I thought to me it was like so stupid.
Okay, all right. I'm not gonna spoil it because it was dumb as fuck, and you heard me, and I'm like, what? What? It's no. It's
yeah.
It gets a thumbs down from Space City Nerd. I'm sorry, people who.
Yeah, I mean,
it looked expensive.
Yeah.
The popular opinion has been like, oh my god, this is amazing. I don't know. To me, it's not. And, I mean. People are like, this needs to be in the Power Ranger movie that's coming out, you know, from Lionsgate next year or the year after, whatever. But the thing is, if you think about it, this is not going to work as a movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, Power Rangers, no matter how many like older fans there are, is going to be always like merched out to kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And,
you know,
and I want to go back to a point earlier. This has nothing. There's no soul of the Power Rangers in this. It's not about teamwork. It's not about overcoming odds. It's not about, you know.
It's just an edgy movie.
Yeah, it's just an edgy movie. It is the hatred of remakes.
Like if you could have done it like with like Kashern or something.
Well, Kashern is always super dark already.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like it doesn't match. You know, like earlier, Katie was talking about when they did that Mortal Kombat series.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
It matched the
Mortal Kombat art.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Mortal Kombat's about.
Done. You know, I when it comes to stuff like this, like there's a very few examples that I can use that I actually enjoy. I know that there's a stupid one I showed you, Ryan, is that Street Fighter musical.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
So I mean, it's like something with more creativity and an edge rather than like let's make this grim, dark, and edgy.
Yeah. Exactly. Let's make this edgy. Let's make Looney Tunes edgy. Let's go. It's fucking rabbit season. Bang. You know. Bang.
I think that's like an easy way out. You know.
It is, and I hate to say it, but it is like it goes to the lowest common denominator. Everyone wants to be all grim, dark, and edgy, and so there's no subtlety to it.
You know, it's funny, and then what's even more heartbreaking is like. The guy that directed this, he doesn't even watch Power Rangers.
He just wants it to be grim dark.
No, he didn't even want to do this.
Why? Then why did he do it for
some quick buck or whatever?
So yeah, it's probably a spec.
Because he was talking about how like if they offered him the like the big $200 million movie that's coming out, he'd say no.
Well, yeah.
Well, let's move on. It is at time. we don't have anything else better to say about this. Except I want to see some Dawson memes complaining about.
Yeah,
y'all get on that. Internet.
I'm waiting for the memes.
Well, continuing with Unpopular Opinion Week, the Oscars. I saw a post today. It was a joke post, but someone took it as real and said, yes, let's back this up about how Bradley Cooper should have won Best Actor for Rocket Raccoon.
So
I like Bradley Cooper.
So you sent me that and I thought I thought you were joking because earlier that week I made a joke that said and I said that what did I say? I told my wife everyone's all clamoring for for Bradley Cooper to, you know, play American Raccoon. That's what I call.
Oh, God.
Yeah, American Raccoon. Something like that. It was a better joke back then. But I mean, basically, I switched American Sniper with Raccoon, and I thought it was funny.
So, yeah, I mean, it's like, the thing is, there was a big clamor of, like, you know, why aren't superhero movies in the Oscar picture? Because they're not Oscar material.
They're,
you know,
superhero movies.
Wait.
Does that make us hypocrites when Birdman won?
Well,
it was.
Well, Birdman was actually more of a critique on superhero movies because whatchamacallit, forgot his name. Michael Keaton's character's life was ruined. Yeah, he's ruined by his superhero stardom. So it is a critique of all the Marvel MCU movies. So it is like the anti-hero movie. Not anti-hero grimdark, like anti-hero.
Anti-smart. Anti-hero smart dark.
Yeah.
Dark.
Yeah.
New genre.
And,
there you go.
Yeah, new genre. Anti-hero smart dark.
So just, this is going to be super unfamiliar. Just because you like something doesn't mean it should win an award.
Yeah.
Man, that's messed up. Ryan, because I'm entitled to my opinion, and you're entitled to accept my opinion as your own.
First of all,
For the record, I
love the Fast and the Furious movies. Not because just because I'm Asian, it's because it's awesome. And after Fast and the Furious 4, or what do you call it? Fast and Furious, they just became special ops cars. Yeah, so yeah. I love Expendables, but they're not award-winning movies.
And the thing, like, with the superhero movies, you know, you were telling me earlier they can win, like, technical awards. That's fine. You know, that's perfect.
Like, Rocket Raccoon is very high-tech.
Well, the makeup effects for a lot of, like, the heroes.
Yeah.
Not only, like Gamora, you know, Mystique, you know. But it's, like, I don't know. It follows a certain cliche, like all the superhero movies,
and they're formulaic too.
Yeah,
they have to be.
I think the closest one to actually being considered for an Oscar would probably have to be Winter Soldier.
Mm. Yeah, that was a very surprisingly good movie. But
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Guardians. No, it's a feel good fun movie.
Yeah, it is.
But does it really move movie as an art form in? Does it really? I mean, yeah, it's great, but does it move it forward? Does it make it like a Citizen Kane?
Yeah, you're right.
Star-Lord moves it for me though.
Star-Lord?
Yeah, Star-Lord. 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 I don't know. He's the Skylord. Ginger.
He is Skylord.
He's not only Lord of the Stars, but he's Lord of the Sky.
Yeah. I want to say that I am kind of upset that the Lego movie got a horrible snub.
That movie was great.
Yeah.
Who won animated? I didn't watch
that. Big Hero 6.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we're all okay with that. It's just that I wanted Lego movie to be nominated.
I'm super okay with that.
Also, if I can make fun of Lego movie, the Everything is Awesome thing musical number was not awesome. It was silly. It felt forced, and it felt. I did like Will Arnett showing up as Batman, going darkness, dead parents. That was hilarious, but it. We're gonna be really unpopular this week.
Okay.
Today on the I Hate Everything show.
If you promise not to unsubscribe, buy you a beer or something next time I see you.
Yeah. I mean, we're all entitled to all our opinions. And that's my opinion.
It's like, you know what's funny about, like, the Everything Is Awesome song, how the Lonely Island did it, and it's for, like, a kid's movie. I can just imagine, like, you know, a kid like, hey, Lonely Island, let me go on the internet and look it up. And it's like, dick in a box? What?
Dick in a box? Jizz in my pants? What? And then we'll have a bunch of kids throwing stuff on the ground.
Suddenly, Everything is Awesome.
So, also, what I don't get about Everything is Awesome, that song in the movie canon. It's supposed to brainwash you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hilarious. That's what I... And so during the whole movie, you get to hear that and get brainwashed?
Yes. It's not the song that you're supposed to play because you're supposed to be free of, you know, this weird thing. And, you know, okay. Will Ferrell.
So going back to the winner of the animated movie, did you think Big Hero 6 deserved it?
I thought so. It was a fantastic movie.
Yes, it was.
Well animated, and then it made me laugh. Made me laugh, and it made me cry.
Yeah, I had feels, and I was like, no.
I also was amazed that Disney can take like a little known Marvel property and made it awesome.
I mean, they kind of like mutilated in the process, but
is Big Hero 6 part of MCU?
Well, no, I mean, they mutilated from the original source.
They did. They had to kiddify it a little bit because there's no Silver Samurai. If it had Silver Samurai, I'd be like, this should take all the Oscars.
You'll give me all your own. Yeah. I don't know, but the stair scene had me. I was just like, that robot is me.
The drunken
Baymax.
That was hilarious. But I think, I don't know, to me, I hadn't felt like that emotional, like, oh man, in a Disney movie in a long time.
Yeah.
Until Hero 6.
Yeah, it had been a while. I think Bambi was the last time I felt bad. Like, shit.
Yeah. Oliver and Company was my last. I feel bad.
I feel bad.
Oliver and Company. Oh man.
Oh, and
Little Nemo was really a rough one too.
I couldn't identify with it because it's like, oh, those are fish. Those are always floating upside down at Walmart.
Yeah. Oh. Just don't hit it for me. No.
Well, it's about a father and his disabled son and.
Oh my God.
He is disabled.
He's little.
He has little Finn, you know, trying to cope with the murder of his wife with another mentally disabled fish.
Yeah, you know which one did hit me in the feels as an adult? Wally.
Oh, Wally. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Forgot about Wally too. Come on.
So is that your favorite Pixar movie? Because I would put it up there next to Incredibles, I think.
Wally Incredibles, yes.
I don't know.
I don't know if I liked it better than The Incredibles.
If we're going to go with a hate podcast, my favorite Pixar movie is Cars 2. Ka-chow.
Man. I only like the shorts in the beginning, tips Fedora.
Yes. I like the birds, the bird one, beginning of Monsters, Inc.
I like the one where the guy chases the paper, yeah.
My favorite Pixar movie is Rio.
That's actually much better when you say my favorite Pixar movie is Shrek.
Shriek.
So we're going to go ahead and go for our first break. We're going to bring our guest on a little bit. We're very, very, very excited. You might be like, why are they excited about this? You know, but just hold on to your hats, listen to some of these songs, and then when we come back, we'll have him interviewed and stuff. But this is Hot Dad, and this is off his TV album. This is we're going to play two tracks because they're very short. We're going to play G.I. Joe and also Cowboy Bebop and then G.I. Joe. Now, you may be like, okay, what are these songs that are titled Cowboy Bebop and G.I. Joe? They are the theme songs, but they have been... What do you want to call it, Ryan?
I call it 80s-fied. That's why
kind of like 80s movie, like pop movie.
How about sitcom-ified?
Yeah, sitcom-ified is a good term. Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll ask him when he gets on right now what he would consider, you know, this. So, totally check these songs out. You can also find Hot Dad or his albums at hotdad.bandcamp.com. And he's got some other stuff, other projects that he works on that are just equally amazing. He's a shoegaze artist. So, and stay tuned for Hot Dad in a little bit.
There's no...
Cowboy Bebop, just clap your hands. Cowboy Bebop. It's a cosmic dance. Bounty hunters from 71. These different space gates is how it's done. They're not gonna let you escape prosecution. Hitman hackers, dogs missing arms, con artists from the crew, yeah. Space justice miracles in every place with such high stakes. Red Dragon Syndicate, you know what power, don't forget. Cowboy Bebop, 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 Cowboy Bebop,
that was the G.I. Joe theme song and also the Cowboy Bebop theme song as done by Hot Dad. And tonight we have Hot Dad on our show. Hello, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I am excellent. Brian, Katie, are you guys excellent as well?
Yes, I'm
pretty excellent after all the hate from the last section.
Hey, Eric, what's your favorite Pixar movie?
My favorite Pixar movie?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man.
I guess I'll just say Wall-E. I mean, I haven't.
Yes. Oh, there we go.
I haven't watched many of them. I mean, that was the most recent one I watched as an adult. I mean, I watched some when I was younger, but.
No, that's a good answer.
That's my only honest answer.
Wall-E's Cars. Wall-E? Cars 2.
Okay.
So, Eric, Ryan like introduced me to you and to the Hot Dad persona.
I heard you on Laser Time, and I was like, what are these guys talking about? And they gave your Bandcamp, and I was like, all right, whatever, let's take a listen. And it was fantastic. I was blown away.
I mean, Laser Time's been really good to me, so I mean, I'm glad that people are finding it from there.
Hopefully, like, this will help us too, because like the night that we introduced the other guy that's not actually here to do the podcast, he infected all of his like friends with it, and there's like a bunch of people in Houston now listening to you too as well.
Oh, great!
So apparently there was like a house full of people just sitting down and listening to Hot Dad.
There's a lot of content, you know.
No, that's a when I saw the playlist, I'm like, what? This is like 40 songs.
Yeah, it was huge.
No, it's not 40 songs.
It's like 93 now or something.
Oh yeah, no, it's 94. Never mind. I just looked at your Bandcamp.
So that is the two HBO songs on it though too that are made from HBO, the HBO theme. Just
yeah.
Clips. I'm gonna take a stab at Dark and said you're pretty much the same age as us. So that's why we all these songs resonate so much with us.
Okay.
Take your stab.
Are you old enough to say,
Oh.
Are you guessing? Like, are you supposed to guess my age? Am I supposed to say my age?
No, I'm just going to say we're like late 20s, early mid
30s. I'm 29.
Yeah. Oh, so there you go.
Yeah, that's about all I would say. So,
what's your thought process in creating kind of these songs?
How much have you dug around the YouTube channel?
Well,
I did pretty much. I did a lot of the yeah.
It's not critical.
I've seen a few of your videos. Yep.
I mean, what I like is, well, we've been doing that for years, which is not necessarily trolling. Like it's like half trolling, half authentic. Like the one thing we did that I was really proud of was the Home Improvement series. That was just like a really bad parody.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not even a parody. It's like just the character. It's yes. not. It's not even necessarily like fan fiction. It's just I'm not even necessarily a fan of that show. It's just like here are these characters, and I vaguely understand what they're supposed to be like, and I'm kind of making fun of them, but I'm kind of not. So I don't know. I did a lot of stuff like that, and then I just started making themes like that. I don't know. Girls was the first one I did, but I did that. There's a CeeLo Green cover that I did that's really bad also that doesn't sound at all like the real thing. And I did that a year before I started doing the TV things and themes, and that's like literally the exact same idea. It's like somebody trying to cover the song, but they've only understood, you know, 1% of the lyrics in the song, and then they try to fill in the rest with what they think is there.
So, like when you do like the TV stuff, I mean, I'm pretty sure you watched an episode of Ninja Turtles and stuff.
I saw that I was younger, but I just read the Wikipedia page.
Okay, so that's what you do. I didn't know if you actually like tried to transfer your brain into like not knowing anything about these characters.
Yeah, I wanna be like, what do I want to say here? It's that I want to act like I don't know anything about it. If I do know something, and if I don't know anything, I'm just going to keep going because I don't know. It's like a vague understanding of the show, and I'm a huge fan of Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Yeah,
and. Yeah. There have been numerous instances where, like, there's the episode with Mike Judge. Space Ghost is making these jokes. He's pretending to be Beavis and Butthead. And he's saying, like, you know, shut up, Buttland. I am Butthead. Like, saying these things that the characters would never say. And people watching it who don't get Space Ghost would be like, they're terrible writers. Like, they don't know what's going on. But that's the joke. The joke is that they're making fun of something they don't understand.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most prominent examples of that is that the Simpsons one. And
which oh, yeah, yeah. Which one is the baby? Is Homer the baby? That's what he's saying the whole episode.
Yeah, like Bart and Marge, they're in charge, and then like Homer was born.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There have been some really wonderful comments. There was this site called, it's called like, some guy featured it, and it got... It's like a feed that goes to like a really broad audience. It's not like a very specialized thing. Mm-hmm. And so it went to Facebook and it went to just the general feed, which has like 2 million likes on it or something of this site. It's called like Magic Hats or Magic. It has some like really weird name and I'd never heard of it. And this guy posted on it angrily that Homer is the dad and, you know, Bart is not. Bart is not the dad, and Lisa and Maggie are not twins, and like posted this really angry message beneath it. And it's like, do you really think I spent all that time making the song and then I just like slipped up? You know, like to that extent.
That's so here in Houston, we have an art museum called the McNeil.
Okay.
And a wing of that is dedicated to Cy Twombly. And when I was listening to this, I was like, this guy has to know what he's talking about, but his songs are so you know, on point at like someone being clueless. Swy Twomley, as an artist, he basically, when he was like drawing or painting, he forced himself to not know anything about drawing or anything about painting or about writing and stuff like that. And so he ended up doing like these weird like paintings that look like a child's paintings or a child trying to imitate like cursive writing and stuff. And he was considered a genius. Can we consider you a genius as well?
If that's how you determine genius, yeah.
Okay, so you are a genius now.
Yes!
This is going very well.
So, well, I mean...
You are, in fact, a genius.
Well, like, yeah, you know, you go on pretending you don't know much about any of these shows, but then you take it to, like, a next level, like the Darkwing Duck song, where it gets really... The lyrics get really interesting.
I mean, I wrote erotica for 2 years. I mean, that's how I supported myself. Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, that's what I should say. I transitioned from erotica to what is considered new adult romance, which I don't know if you know the differences between those, but
I thought they were kind of the same.
They are, but new adult is basically all like coming of age, college girl heroine that is discovering things about herself, etc.
Like 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah, that one fell considered. That fell more into, well, that was, I don't know, I wouldn't call that one new adult, but I would consider, there was a book, I don't know, none of these are really that notable, but I mean there are some decent authors doing it, but I don't know, it was mostly just to make money. I mean, and then I just started to, I wanted to write novels instead of shorts, mm-hmm. So that made sense. But anyway, so some of that vocabulary is kind of embedded in me now in terms of, you know, writing about sex, basically, and then,
yeah. And so when it comes out with Darkwing Duck.
Yeah. I don't know. I did that one in Lost in the same day, and I don't know. It just depends on what happens. Like, I finished Lost, and somebody requested Darkwing Duck, and immediately that song was running through my head, so I did it. And then that's what it turned out being. I mean,
that's a great place you're in.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites from the album. I was like, wow, this is awesome. And
I sing
it to my fiance all the time, and I think that would get her in the mood, but I don't know.
Yeah.
My wife got her hands on the last book of Evangelion, and then I was just sitting behind her going, Neon Genesis, Evangelion, and until she like got really angry and left the room.
Okay, so I don't know, I don't watch, I mean, I will eventually probably watch some anime, but I haven't actually watched any of the anime I've done theme songs for. And Neon Genesis drove me totally insane because I kept pronouncing it totally different ways. Like, it was driving me crazy. Like, I would sing it one way, and then I had to go back and redo it, like, 6 times. And
you're going
to
get some weeaboo angry at you. Go, no, that's not saying
it. Right, yeah.
So, you never, like we're going to play Cowboy Bebop and Sailor Moon tonight, and you've never heard any of those? You've never seen any of them?
I have not watched either of those, no.
Well, you know that's... enough to know that there's a talking cat named Luna.
I mean, yeah. I read the Wikipedia page.
That's okay. That is true. That is true.
I mean, that's what you do when you don't know something. You read the Wikipedia.
I don't know. The thing is that somehow I transcend that. I don't know. Like, it still connects with the people. There's something about just, I guess, singing those particular details in the way that I'm doing it that, I guess, resonates with people.
Did you watch Oz?
I did watch Oz, yeah. Oz I love.
That was an amazing song, too, so.
Well, I had some ideas for that one.
So, you know, and I know you have, like, this is the comedy bit, but there's also a serious side to Eric. You're an amazing musician. You sent me, like, some of your other songs, and I was just floored by what you do. And it's, like, most evident, like, in the TV album with the Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Okay.
That thing was, like, amazing. Do you want to share some details on, like, the serious side of Eric?
Well, I mean, the funny story with Are You Afraid of the Dark is that I was in the process of making the Girls Who Care album. I had recorded everything, and I have a producer, mixer friend in New York City that I was supposed to go there to do drums, which I did eventually, but that was the last song I made before I went to do that. And prior to that, like, the first batch of songs goes up to Are You Afraid of the Dark? And when I hit Are You Afraid of the Dark, I finished it, and I showed it to my girlfriend, and she's like, oh, this is a good song. You should keep it. And I'm like, yeah, I could change the lyrics, and I could remake this into a Girls Who Care song. She's like, no, you should just use the lyrics. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, this is a joke song for a TV show. And she's like, no, it's fine. And it, like, I had crossed some line. Like, I didn't even know it was happening, but, like, I don't know. It added this level of legitimacy to the project that I hadn't ever anticipated. So, I don't know. It was kind of confusing because, like, I didn't really know what I was doing. I mean, I still don't really know what I'm doing, but it's just a matter of, at that moment, there was, like, this big, like, I don't know if I want to call it an aha moment, but it was something like that. But I don't know. In terms of my serious music, it's I come about it in the same way that I do this, but I don't know. I don't feel like I consider myself to be basically anti-pretentious. I mean, I think I can make good songs, but I don't know that I necessarily have something important to say. So lyrics to me are really hard with real music and really easy with the funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like I just want to make things that I guess people can interpret and things that are malleable enough that, like, I don't know, I guess if you're having a bad experience or a good experience, like, they speak to you. But I don't know, most of what I do isn't about anything, and I don't know, I've just never really been like that in terms of, you know, saying, like, I've had this big experience and I need to write about relationships, and I write songs about people it's kind of like David Byrne in interviews would say that, like, he doesn't write songs about love because it's too deep of a subject. So he writes songs about, like, paper and houses and trees, and, like, and that really resonated with me because I don't know, there's something to be said about that, like, I'm working toward that now with my serious stuff, like, coming up with some kind of concept to write about. I mean, on the Girls Who Care album, the last track on the album is actually, I'd finished Stephen King's The Long Walk, and that's what the song is called, and I was trying to write lyrics, and they were coming out, like, about the story, so that's, like, one of the few songs I've ever written about something
mm-hmm.
that's serious. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's... I don't like it. It drives me crazy when artists are trying to say how, like, to me, art is just subjective, and it either connects with people or it doesn't. And so I'm just kind of trying to make things that speak to me emotionally, which isn't usually done in the most straightforward way. So if I can make myself feel the music, then I think audiences can, if that makes any sense.
No, I understand. Yeah. But so, like, you're kind of saying, like, you hate how, like, John Lennon was all about, like, hey, listen to Imagine because it means something.
I don't hate. I mean, in some sense, I guess I'm saying that. But I guess I'm talking more about, like, just people that, like, when what's his name from The Killers, Brandon Flowers, was making all these statements about how, like, we are the greatest rock band of this century and we are writing the greatest songs. And then they would ask them about, you know, like, Human, when they were writing Human, oh, yes, we wrote that in the studio in about 15 minutes. It was written right away. Like, making these statements about, I don't know, just these really pompous, pretentious statements. And, like, I don't know, I don't derive much out of the music that's supposed to be important. Like, it either like it or I don't. And so, in that sense, like, it's no more important than any other song that I like.
So okay. It's like, whatever passes QC...
Yeah,
goes forward.
Exactly. Yes.
So, aren't you afraid of if
the dark?
The dark.
That too. But
if your funny stuff actually supersedes your serious stuff, like you get more fans that way, are you kind of worried about that?
I don't know how to answer that anymore because, you know, my feeling is that, you know, good. So I had a talk with my producer, and it's like, there's good music is more ubiquitous than ever at this point. Like, it's not as hard at all to make a really good sounding album. It's still very easy to produce shit, but it's still very hard. I mean, it's not very hard to make something that sounds really good. Like, the equipment that I use at home, you know, I have these plugins that simulate analog gear. I'm throwing tape machines on tracks. I'm throwing analog vintage gear that would need to be maintained and taken care of, and it would need to be in a nice studio. I'm just throwing these on my tracks digitally, and this is easily done now. So I don't know. So anyway, you know, I feel like the TV themes and the stuff that I've been doing that's funny, I have a better shot at getting noticed from that than I do the good music. Like, I invested a pretty good amount of money into that album, and I think it sounds incredible.
It does.
But how does it compete with other things? I don't know yet. That's the problem. The problem is that you've got to start from the ground floor, and I don't know. I've kind of learned to support myself from the ebook writing, like, with my own skills. And at this point, I don't necessarily want to do the whole suffering playing for nobody thing. Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm trying to see if there's a way to avoid that, basically, by building up a really mature fan base of people through the comedy stuff. And, like, basically every single person that has heard the Hot Dad stuff, and I show them The Girls Who Care, they're all blown away by it because it's exactly what they want to hear.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'll compare The Girls Who Care as to the better parts of M83.
Okay.
You know, that's how I feel, and I love it, you know. And it's like, I think it's like a hidden gem when you bring out that Girls Who Care.
I mean, like, I don't know. I'm thrilled with it, but like, I don't even really remember making that album. You know, it's like everything just comes out of me, and that's where I guess I'm saying, like, I'm not going to say it's super important because I don't even know what it meant. Like, it was just something I needed to get done to move on.
She says the guy who doesn't want to be pretentious, but yet he's like, yeah, my best stuff, I didn't even know about it.
All right.
But no, I get what you're saying, you know, but I've been a fan of both, like, your comedy, and when you showed me Girls Who Care, I was blown away by that. You know, and I truly wish you the best unlock on both of us. And if you're ever near the Houston area, like, we'd love to hear that live.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the next step, but I want to do something with the Hot Dad songs, and it's just a matter of, like, how should I structure a live show? And I don't know, I had the interview I did with Consequence of Sound. I have a full-length fake Jesus album that I'm about to release as soon as it gets done being mixed. And I don't think anybody's really done this sort of thing. Like, I know that everybody says South Park, Faith Plus One. It's not that. It's a little different than that. Ugh. And I'm kind of, this is where I'm at. Like, I was kind of worried about linking this to me at all, but, like, I'm just going to do it because all of these things are kind of inextricably linked. Like,
I don't know. I think as a society nowadays, we can take, you know, satirical, you know, religious things and know that, hey, this guy, he's just being funny.
I mean, that's my hopes. I mean, I can't imagine anybody who likes the TV themes won't like it, but I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, the guy who mixed Girls Who Care to a lesser capacity is mixing this. So it's going to sound nice. And I don't know. I'm really excited to release that too, because I don't know. I've got a bunch of really weird ideas for things that.
Is this one coming out under Hot Dad? Yeah, also?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Man. I can't wait. Yeah.
I keep an eye out on that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll send you guys a track or two. I have some early mixes of them, but those have all gotten really good reception from people I've showed them to. So
sweet.
Now, I was going to suggest for the live tour, you should have 89 costume changes for each one of the songs.
Oh, yeah. It'd be very low.
Just have them all on at once and just strip them off one by one per track.
That would take a lot of layers, but it'd be cool.
Or just go to Goodwill.
Work and, like, with it. You
know, right. 89 layers. And I've also debated, like, setting up a projector and having the TV themes playing in the background. I mean, I don't know.
That'd be great, yeah. Mm. Yeah, let's get some great visuals for the show. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I want to do that. I want to incorporate visual elements. So,
don't tease us with a live show, because now I want one after all this. So
it's gotta happen, you know.
Oh man,
sweet. Well, you know, thank you for joining us on the show. Like, you uncovered a lot of things, like erotica and Jesus albums and stuff, and yeah. it's awesome. People want to find out about you. I know you have hotdad.bandcamp.com, but is there any way else to reach Eric?
I mean, through the YouTube channel. I just registered the domain. It's hotdad.club, which I thought was kind of fun. which I'm going to just have it redirect to the Bandcamp for now. But I don't know. I can't make a decision with how Facebook's handled, you know, fan interaction.
Yeah.
I don't know if, a Tumblr makes more sense or something, but... I mean, the YouTube, there's all the Girls Who Care stuff. Girls Who Care is on SoundCloud and also on Bandcamp, which is girlswhocare.bandcamp.com, and then soundcloud.com/girlswhocare. And then, of course, the YouTube channel.
Yeah, I guess the only thing is, like, you just get yourself there everywhere, so then you can get everyone.
Right.
Hopefully.
So, yeah, if you want to listen to some very well thought out music, of course, Hot Dad. He is a hot dad also. He is a hot dad of a 10-year-old cat.
Yes.
That's right.
Right. So and yeah, check him out at hotdad.club. Hopefully we'll have him in Houston sometime soon, watching him do his TV album live. For now, we're gonna go ahead and play that Are You Afraid of the Dark, so you can revel in its amazingness, and also the Sailor Moon theme. And we'll be right back after this.
Are you afraid of the dark? Are you afraid of me? Are you afraid of the dark? Or just what lies beneath? I've got this feeling that you're running away from me. I've got this feeling that you're trying to hide. I don't know how or why, but I know it's gonna happen. Baby, Sailor Moon.
So once again, that was Hot Dad off his TV album. I actually cannot wait until his Jesus album. And you can check out his like other stuff too, the Girls Who Cares album. But that was his rendition of Are You Afraid of the Dark, which is amazing, and Sailor Moon, which he has not watched but read the Wikipedia page. So keeping on with the whole TV show thing, is there something that you guys remember that you think nobody else remembers?
I'd let you take the lead on this because I'd try.
How about, remember Little Wonder?
No. I watched this weird show called like The Tribe or something. You know, with like all those kids, like all the parents die, but they're all like edgy looking. It was only on like this weird like New Zealand channel or something, or Australian channel. Yeah, like see, fucking obscure.
There you go. Little Wonder was a girl that was a robot, and she was like
Small
kind of a
Wonder.
Maid. Small Wonder. There you go. Shit. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that show. The little the robot girl.
That was a crazy show.
Oh, I don't know anything beyond that she's a robot, and then she has like a panel on her back.
So she's like Chobits, but her panel's somewhere else.
Well, I'll not get into that. Because Small Wonder is like 8.
Chobits was like really young too.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah. Well, thinking of something I came across recently, it wasn't even like an obscure show. I used to watch Reboot a lot. I liked Reboot.
A Reboot might be coming back.
Really?
Yeah. Are we a reboot of a reboot?
A reboot of Reboot?
A gritty reboot of Reboot.
A gritty reboot of Reboot.
I guess this season 3 is kind of gritty because you got Matrix and he's all gritty. Yeah. He has a gun.
There was one show. If you can help me answer this, email us at spacynerd.gmail.com. At gmail.com, we'll for sure give you like
some
credit
candy.
For it.
Oh.
And a pair of staple passes. If you're going to Austin next weekend, or in 2 weeks. There was a cartoon, and Ryan, Katie, you guys can answer this too, with no staple passes included.
Okay.
But there was a girl that could stop time. And
it was like, was that it?
That was like the whole purpose of the sitcom. Was it Sabrina? No, it wasn't Sabrina. Like, she would like be like, time out, and then she could like rearrange everything.
That's sounds like whatchamacallit. That sounds like she can rearrange everything. I know what you're talking about. Because like time out, that's from Saved by the Bell.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's right before that. And the thing is, like, I remember the ending had like a Frank Sinatra song.
Huh?
Do you remember her name?
No.
Is it
It's late 80s, I know that.
Dude, I don't know. I don't even remember, like...
The ending thing was, like, something on a star.
Well, did the intro have a bunch of planets and shit?
Yes.
Hold on.
Oh, shit.
Out of This World.
Oh, yes, I think is that what it is?
This is an American fantasy sitcom about a teenage girl who's half alien, and then she has unique superhuman powers.
I think, yeah, that is.
Could be half of that. Could part of her powers could be stopping time.
Scott, you get a hug next time I see you.
Ooh, Scott Baio, isn't it?
Huh. Ooh.
Mr. T was guest starred. Oh, Scott Baio guest starred. Mr. T guest starred. Tiffany, the pop singer.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a plus.
Who'd win in a fight then? Her or Alex Mack?
Because
Alex Mack can turn into water.
I don't know.
She could stop time and freeze her.
That's true. If you can stop time and then like if
or
she
put
turned...
a fire underneath her
and boil her. Boil Alex Mack. Okay, I don't know if this is super obscure, but I like not really, but there was this. We had this TV network, and it was off the air that you get to dial in and play music videos. And I would just watch.
Oh God, yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I would watch it. I didn't have money to buy the videos, but people would, and I'm like, oh, awesome! I hope they play videos that I like.
I forgot what that was
called.
It's called The Box, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, The Box. Yeah, I remember that was like a pay-per-view channel.
Yeah, you called in, and then I think it's a 1-900 number, mm-hmm. or you give your credit card, and then you get like.
I called in once.
Really? Did you play a song?
Yeah, I did.
What songs did you play?
I don't remember.
I think
it was a Marilyn Manson song. I'm not even kidding.
I did Limp Bizkit.
Did you do Limp Bizkit? I was about to say everybody would request a Limp Bizkit song, and that would come on.
See, I didn't have the money, so I just watched it. I was like, I wish someone would play this song.
Not giving a shit because it charges to your parents' phone bill.
That also, remember the Sega Network?
Yeah, the Sega Network. We always have that kid that, you know, down the street that had everything. I had a friend mm-hmm. at work, and we went over there and sit there, and it'll download it. It'll take 2 minutes to download a game, and then we're like, oh, look, Vector Man.
Excuse you. I was just thinking about Vector Man the other day. That game was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
So was Rystar. It had a really good soundtrack.
Oh, Rystar.
Rystar. Yeah.
You know, speaking of Limp Bizkit and On the Box and the Sega Network, there was actually like a Limp Bizkit like ad for the Sega Network.
I don't remember that.
It was something like, don't let Limp Bizkit kick your ass on the Sega Network.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, man, y'all are, okay, I need to look that up later because I don't remember.
I got left in front of the TV a lot, I think.
I have that saved somewhere, you know, because that ad is too precious when you have Limp Bizkit.
Did y'all have the Sega Network? Either of y'all?
My brother used to work for, I think it was Star Cable at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would get, like, everything for free.
Oh, nice.
So my parents would go out and stuff and leave me with my brother, and it was like, let me bring my Sega Genesis.
Oh, sweet.
And so, yeah, I got to play, like, all that. But it was, like, I don't know. It was not, because it was, like, a limited thing.
Yeah.
You could only play.
It's kind of like PlayStation Plus, where you'll have like a free games every so not free quote unquote free games every like month or so. You can't keep them.
Like the first level or something, like zone.
No, you play on PlayStation Plus. You play the full game.
Yeah,
but if you don't subscribe, you don't get it.
Yep, but you can also you keep it. You keep that game as long as you download it. Or you quote unquote buy it and you still have PlayStation Plus, you still have it.
Man, I'm like still shocked that you got that out of this world one for me.
Google.
Did you? Oh, you Googled it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've been. That's been like two back in like the priority list to be like, I need to Google out of this world.
You're welcome. I can't think of any other shows.
Do you remember about that one show about this kid who was in the house and he was really cool? He was kind of chubby.
Okay, I need more than that.
Yeah.
He was in the house.
Corey's in the house?
Oh, yes.
Okay. You know, I used to watch Erie, Indiana.
Oh, yeah. It replaced Goosebumps, so I didn't really
like it. Yeah, didn't.
I think like my like children watching ending was probably like, because they used to have like the Nickelodeon magazine.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
Like the era of Pete and Pete, I kind of was kind of like, okay, cool, whatever. And that's when I stopped watching like more of the youth oriented, like TV shows. Mm. Except for Corey in the House, because he was adorable.
Speaking of TV show, this is not a TV show, but in Houston, Channel 45 was porn. Scrambled porn.
Was it? Well, what, on pay-per-view?
Yeah, it was like the Spice Network.
Oh, Spice.
I was talking about, like, I was thinking, like, you were talking about Channel 45, like, Univision.
Oh no!
Which?
No! Time Warner. Time Warner had like Channel 45, and it was that. Also, before that happened, this is fantastic. But E Network would go off air, and it would turn to the Spice Channel, and I would watch E until it went off the air because I'll get like 30 seconds of the Spice Channel.
Just 30 seconds. 30 yeah, before, blissful seconds.
Before it gets scrambled. It was fantastic.
I still remember going over to a friend's house and turning on the Spice Channel it was on and seeing those blurred lines and guessing what we could make out.
See, kids nowadays, it's so easy to get that on the internet. It's just, we had effort.
Yeah, it took a lot of effort for us to try to find shit.
Yeah.
You always had to rely on some friend's mom to have something, like single mom had like the weirdest shit stashed.
I think I traded like 20 comics for like a deck of nudie cards.
A deck of nudie cards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the bus. So that's how hard it was, you know? or like I remember one time I was at my cousin's house and his friend had like the best cable out there without having all access to like the nudie channels. And so every 3 hours he could like preview any of the pay-per-view channels. So it was like we previewed 30 seconds of like whatever Adult Network was on there. And then we went out and like played outside or like played video games. And 3 hours later, we were like right on the dot.
Back at
another preview. You know? So, yes, kids nowadays have it hard.
Yeah, so easy. Hard. Easy. Yeah, not well.
I can type porn and then I don't even have to try.
And all you have to do is save search down. Okay,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just on turn Google. Up save search. Anything will be porn.
Now the thing is, I was reading today though is that even if you're like incognito or whatever, mm-hmm. your web browser leaves a footprint no matter what. Ooh. And so there's people that if they actually dedicate themselves into hacking you or hacking that server, they can show who's been watching what porn to the specific title.
Oh.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, I'm going to go ahead and straight up admit
we might need to call it.
Yes. I'm going to admit that I watched dragons having sex with cars. That's actually a thing. That's actually a thing on the internet. And multiple people make art of having dragons having sex with cars.
That's on YouTube. Like, I've seen it before.
I've seen some shit.
Yeah, I was like, it's a thing. Never mind. I can't believe it's a thing. The internet, guys. The internet.
The internet.
Well, we're going to go ahead and kind of start shutting it down. The calendar for the upcoming week or weekend. Let's see. This weekend, the 28th, Doomsday Wrestling is going to have Montezuma's Revenge at Numbers.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while since the last Doomsday event.
It was at the Comicpalooza last year. Not last year.
No, they had one more. They had one more after Comicpalooza.
Okay.
But it's really going to be really cool. El Baño is the reigning champion now.
the toilet?
Yeah.
That's okay. A wrestler that carries around a toilet.
I was just, you know, making sure my Spanish is...
One of my favorite wrestlers is the menopausal, like, Hot Flash.
Yeah,
Hot Flash.
That's the greatest name ever. It was so good.
Yeah, and he's actually going to defend his title against Precious Jewel, the weirdo in the pink bodysuit, the pink shiny bodysuit. So, we'll see that. We may be there. I know Rex, if he feels better, he'll be out there. Weekend after that, of course, or actually on Friday, Ryan, you won't be doing our Friday night gaming because I understand you will be with your wife.
It's our birthday.
Don't act too excited. but Friday night, of course, is Joysticks. And the next Friday is also Joysticks, is Pac-Man Fever night.
Pac-Man Fever.
And we won't be around we'll be around on Friday, but the weekend after we are going to be in Austin. Taking in all the sights and sounds, and we'll be at Staple for the weekend. We'll provide a little bit more Staple coverage on the podcast coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, on Saturday night, speaking of wrestling, Captain Sievert, who used to be here in Houston, one of the best chiptune guys out here, he actually is part of a wrestling promotion in Austin, Party World Wrestling. Yeah. On Saturday night, they're going to have their version of WrestleMania, so like their big event is going to happen. We might show up out there and everything and try to
I'm not going to say the plans for the Houston date for PWR and the details. We're actually going to be involved somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But keep that in mind. And as for March, Matsuri in March?
Let me quickly Google. It's April 3rd and 5th.
Okay, so the first week of April will be Matsuri. Between that, we have hand-selected an awesome group of people to do an anime podcast that will kind of cover what's going on with Matsuri and just anime in general. So stay tuned for that. That'll be one of the SCN EXs, which is like our special editions. And of course, that's going to lead us to Comic Palooza Memorial, or is it Memorial? Yeah, Memorial Weekend. Things are in the works for that. I think you guys know what to expect, aside from RIP Houston. I love that both of y'all chuckled. So
I didn't chuckle.
You chortled. No, I didn't chortle.
No, actually, she groaned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we'll have you tell the story one day, Katie.
One day. God so. Damn it.
So, stay tuned for our official announcement plans, which we'll be doing somewhere, somehow. And I think that'll take us to the end of everything.
The end of it. World.
Yes. So, well, it's been a long show, been a good show. Thank you, Katie, for joining us. Hopefully, we'll have her back for more. Maybe we'll like poison Rex so he doesn't come back. And, no, I'm just kidding. Mm. I'm just kidding, Rex, totally. But
don't eat
well,
that.
Thank you for bringing up the sausage fest that is this podcast, though.
Are you sure she's breaking up the sausage fest?
What? Yeah. What? Are you sure? that's a mystery I like to keep.
I see.
Well, on behalf of myself, Ryan, and Katie, this is Space City Nerd, and good night, Houston.
To a girl's house, she tries to let you in her pants and you say, no way, I ain't crazy but that shit's sick, dog, I ain't putting nothing in that long wet slit, shit, I already feel sick, just thinking about the clit, the tits, and the other bits, rather hang out with my homies but they don't blow me, if you want me getting laid then you don't know me,
get that pussy out of my face, get that pussy out of my face. Get that pussy out of my face. I think I'm going crazy. Get me out of this place.
With his iPhone, he says, hey man, I got a story from the other day. I say, hey, you can tell it if it ain't boring. I got so much shit to do, dog, it's mid-morning. Man, you ain't gonna believe this shit. I was drilling wet pussy with my penis tip. I cut him off, motherfucker, how could you forget? You know I really, really hate that fucking pussy shit.
He starts whining.
Man, I'm so sorry, can I take it back? You're the coolest motherfucker that I've ever met. Too late, I already puked on my bedspread. Now my lunch is laying right where I put my head. And I'm gonna have nightmares from what you said. I think you're proud of the nasty thing that you did. Never call me again, motherfucker, or I'll chop off your balls and then I'll play soccer. Get that pussy out of my face. Get that pussy out of my face. Get that pussy out of my